Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
If you're feeling anxious, stressed, or lonely in these difficult COVID times, call Cal Hope at 1-833-317-HOPE to talk to someone who can help. That's 1-833-317-4673. Hope will persevere.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I, we get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. Hey, it's going to be your church and your turn up. So listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, thanks for downloading this podcast. If you want to listen live, be sure to download the iHeartRadio app and search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Thanks for listening and enjoy the show.
You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
We've reached the midweek of week 10 of the fantasy football season and also the monster week upcoming in college football. We'll get to it all as Fantasy Sports Today starts now.
Fantasy Sports Today.
The middle, pass is caught by Owens. Owens made the catch. Pass is caught. Diggs, sideline, touchdown. Unbelievable. Toss to White. He's in. Patriots win the Super Bowl.
And welcome in. This is Fantasy Sports Today. Craig Mish and Joe Pisapia with you here. It's the midweek edition of the show as we close in on another fantasy football week. And then, of course, the monster that is ahead of us this week in college football. The biggest week of the season, no question. The playoff teams were announced yesterday. That will shift around a lot. We'll get to that in a second. We got Sean Guastamacchia producing the show, as always. You catch the show later today at the Betting Window over on Sports Grid this weekend. Joe Pisapia will be hanging out with the guys, helping you with DFS and helping you with your fantasy football lineups. And Joe, we start off the show with what could end up being an end of an era in the NFL and maybe in fantasy, maybe in reality. You know, it's a pretty hot topic for everybody, and it really has nothing to do with anyone that's going to be playing this week. As former NFL MVP Cam Newton was placed on injured reserve, and it's now Kyle Allen's team. And look, there are some whispers that Newton could be available for the playoffs and could come back in 5 or 6 weeks. But look, let's be realistic, Joe. If Kyle Allen takes his team to the playoffs, we've seen the last of Cam Newton, not only this year, but maybe in Carolina.
Yeah, you took the words right out of my mouth. If this team somehow finds its way into the playoffs, how in God's name are you going to switch quarterbacks at that point in time? And would you want to? Why would you do that to the flow of the offense and what's going on if things are going that well that you're all of a sudden playing games in January? And that seems unlikely, but anything's possible here in the NFL, as we know. And you mentioned it being the end of an era, and it very well might be. You know, Cam Newton's had a bunch of injuries now the last few years, and the style of play that he's been out there, you know, he's taken a lot of hits. He was a running quarterback, a bigger running quarterback. He was the guy that wanted the ball in his hand. And unfortunately, here at this point in his career, I think we can all sit here and agree that it's basically taken its toll on him physically enough to the point now where you're wondering, okay, what's the investment in a Cam Newton going forward? And I'm sure some team will take that shot There's upside there, especially if you have a good offensive line. And in a year where we're looking at a fair amount of, I'd say, quarterback turnover potentially from this year to next, and a lot of those guys like the Winstons being gone potentially from their spot, the Mariotas, who knows what Tannehill is, there's a lot of situations here where there's going to be some open jobs. So if you had a landing spot for Cam Newton, would it be back with Carolina or would it be somewhere else in 2020?
Well, look, it's very hard to say. It could be a show-me deal on a one-year deal, Joe, because remember that Carolina is going to have a very low pick in the draft. And by low, meaning that even if Carolina's 8-8, that's not good enough for the first 20 picks in the draft. You know, like There's so many bad teams, and in Carolina may be best served to bring them back on a 1-year deal and see. Look, you know,
would Cam they Newton, with Will Greer in there? I'm just curious because I know you're a college guy.
Okay. Yeah, listen, I love Will Greer. He played at Florida. He got suspended for PEDs, and then they let him go. Ended up having a really good year at West Virginia. But of all of the players, and I don't put too much into the Senior Bowl, and I don't put too much into the practices, but of all the players that showed up for that, Joe, they said the player that needed the most work in a pro style offense was Will Greer. So I think you're years away from him. Okay. 2, maybe 3 years.
If
so,
all right.
Yeah. And maybe he ends up being great, but I don't think you're getting better in Will Greer than you are Kyle Allen. So the interesting point is the point that you made. What you have to ask yourself is this: with 6 or 7 quarterbacks that you can count on a weekly basis, literally no more than that, there are 20 landing spots for Cam Newton. So we can't just sit here and say, oh, I believe it's Tampa. Oh, I believe it's Chicago. Oh, I believe it's, you could come up with a million teams. Indianapolis, why not? Like, there's a million teams out there that could be a possibility.
I never thought of Chicago, but that's an interesting one.
It could be. It could be. Listen, there's a million spots for this guy. My guess is he leaves. My guess is it's Cam Newton, arguably in the last 10 years, one of the more popular players in the NFL with his own ego. My guess is he says, you know what? I'm going to shock the world, or I'm going to show the world. And then again, I'm just guessing. Remember, he's also a player, Joe, that played at the University of Florida, got kicked out of there too, played for Auburn, was amazing, had one of the best college football seasons of all time as a quarterback there until Tebow came around, and then Tebow was better. So I would guess this is it. I would guess this is it. But if the market doesn't present itself the way that he wants to, then he could go back. My guess is, Joe, the market will present itself a scenario. Cam Newton is going to be better in this offseason than 15 to 20 other quarterbacks that are out there, man. Like, I know that it doesn't seem like that when you just kind of think, and then you close your eyes and you start thinking, okay, like, wait a second. There really isn't anyone available. And then otherwise you're in the draft, and Carolina's draft is going to be low. So I think it is a Kyle Allen Greer deal next year. And if Allen struggled, then you may see Greer that opportunity. But I like Newton on a 1-year massive deal, $20 million, $18 million, something wild, like the Jay Cutler deal when he was with Miami, something like that, and approve it. And if he does, then I think he gets a long-term deal somewhere else.
Denver makes sense, too. You know, just when we're sitting around here.
Where does
Trubisky would be interesting. You know, if he was ended up in, you know, threatening Trubisky, that would be interesting. But from a financial standpoint, probably unlikely. But I'm trying to think to myself, okay, who's got to avoid
team, Joe?
Well, we can, but we also, like you said, it's a hybrid situation of every team that needs a quarterback but doesn't have a draft pick high enough to get the next guy. And even if they did have a draft pick to invest, what are the chances of that guy starting in 2020? And the Denver Broncos come to mind automatically, too, because if Locke, they're not happy with how things are progressing there, or they think they have him, but they want to get somebody else in there in the meantime to be competitive football-wise, Cam Newton lines up perfectly there. You've got not one, but two running backs. You're capable of running the football and protecting him a little bit that way. And you have a guy in Cortland Sutton, a very capable young wide receiver there. And I think that's a setup. Again, it's a setup right off the top that I would think is very beneficial for Cam Newton, very beneficial for the organization. And they have the capper because they don't have bad investments on offensive players that you go, oh, man, they're paying too much for this guy or that guy. They kind of have the cap space to make it work.
Tampa Bay, Chicago, Tennessee, across.
You think he's an Arians type? Do you think that's
sure,
where he
was? Sure. Yeah. I think he's a 1-year fix for a team that is the borderline 7-9, 8-8 that thinks that they could get one guy and take them over the top. That's kind of what he is.
And it could be the end of the Ron Rivera era too. You mentioned end of eras. This could be everybody.
I feel like he's done a good job though.
I think he has too. I'm hard pressed to go looking out and I say, wow, there's a lot of coaches better on the free agent coaching carousel than Ron Rivera. I don't see that, but you can make the argument if they don't make the playoffs, maybe they just wipe the slate clean completely. I think that would be a mistake.
Yeah,
the Panthers.
Maybe. Jacoby Brissett's update, he feels better. Unclear on practice. They play Miami. And I don't think that you can look at this and not take anything serious at this point, because the way that Miami has played the last few weeks, they've been very competitive in games. Can the Colts win without him? Sure. But this is a game they have to win now at this point. The Colts are going to be battling this thing out with a lot of other teams. But Joe, we'll find out more later today and tomorrow. It seems like he has a chance to play. If not, Brian Hoyer gets a start. Does Hoyer have any fantasy value for you?
Only in a 2-quarterback league this particular week, because in the Superflex, you have so many teams on a bye this week. Again, this is a huge bye week, so there's an opportunity where you might be in a pickle and you might need to have somebody out there. So especially got a couple injuries, too. So it's very possible you could be firing up Hoyer, and it's a good matchup. And, you know, Hoyer's capable. He's not great, but he's capable. You know, no less capable than the Matt Moores or the Matt Schaubs. And those guys have gone out there and been OK in Superflex, too. So I think it's all right.
All right. What we'll do is we'll take a quick time out. We got the opening drive up next. You're listening to Fantasy Sports Today. Plenty more to come. Don't go away.
NFL season is now upon us, and you can become the eighth person to win $1 million in a FanDuel or DraftKings tournament by setting their lineups using the DailyRoto.com DFS Lineup Optimizer. If you are playing daily fantasy sports and not using DailyRoto.com, you're doing it wrong. Sign up now for the NFL access with a faster optimizer, smarter DFS projections, and better results. Enter promo code ACTION for a 10% discount. That's promo code ACTION for a 10% discount. DailyRoto.com, where millionaires are made.
Salesforce presents a mini meditation. Close your eyes and let your video conference calls fade away. Ignore the voices drifting from your laptop. Forget how your chin looks from this angle. And focus on what really matters, your customer. On your path to customer success, focus your teams with a single 360-degree view of your customer with Salesforce Customer 360. Find customer focus at salesforce.com/360.
Are you a Henry? It stands for high earner, not rich yet. It means that despite earning a six-figure income, you're struggling to amass any meaningful nest egg. Our friends at The Motley Fool can help. Since 1993, they've been providing investment advice, helping members build the financial future they envision. To kickstart your 2021 financial goals, they're offering five of their favorite stock picks for free. Realizing you're a Henry? Remember the not rich yet part. You can do it, and The Motley Fool can help. Visit fool.com/best bets.
Then he pivots, fakes, chucks the big bomb halfway down the field to our hopefully still wide open tailback. I call it
Fantasy Sports Today with Craig Mish and Joe Pisapia. Fantasy Sports Today presents
first play from scrimmage,
the opening drive.
The first play of the game.
From the opening play and all the way for a touchdown.
And welcome back. It is Fantasy Sports Today. It is the opening drive on this November 6th, 2019. Joe Pisapia, Craig Mish with you as we get the ball rolling on this Wednesday. It's a midweek edition. We had some college basketball last night, some pretty big upsets too. Wow, like the top teams not playing well out of the gate, that's for sure. But first, let's get back to some NFL. The owner of the Chargers came out yesterday, Joe, and was quoted with a bunch of F-bombs and B-bombs and L-bombs and T-bombs and Z-bombs. Man, the Chargers basically tweeted out the meme of the Wolf of Wall Street saying, "We're not going anywhere, we're not going to London." And then the owner comes out and says, "We're not going anywhere. We're staying in Los Angeles." And then, of course, Old Takes Exposed, the great, Twitter. And I know the guy personally lives here in South Florida who runs that, puts a little, we'll keep a note of that. I don't know, Joe. Like, I am not a 100% on anything in sports. I would say that I'm more of the belief that there still is a good shot that this happens as opposed to this team staying in L.A. It's nice to say we're staying. It's nice to say that this is our home. But being in L.A. for the Chargers has been an unmitigated disaster. And I don't think that there's any way, let's say, in 3 years from now that we still see them in L.A. Maybe not London, but I cannot see this team staying. And it's really bad business, I think, for the NFL.
It's terrible to have them there. I mean, I was skeptical that L.A. could support one NFL franchise, let alone two now. And it's just USC is still, I'm sure, outselling all of them combined. I don't know, man. I can't wrap my mind around this. And if you can't trust the owner who just moved the team a couple years ago, who can you trust, Craig Mish? I mean, really, you can curse and yell and scream all you want about any of this. But the fact of the matter is you hit the nail on the head, which is, are they making money? Yeah. Are they making as much as they could? No. Would they make a lot more in London? Absolutely. London, I'm telling you, we talked about on yesterday's show, is ripe for a franchise. They love the NFL over there. The product has been very well received. They're really getting into it. Fantasy football is growing. I can tell you from book sales of the Black Book in UK this year, shockingly good. Okay. Really? So, I'm telling you, man, it's crazy what's going on. Just like I sell books. I sell baseball books in Japan. I sell football books in UK. And I'm telling you right now, it is unbelievable to see what's going on there in the last couple of years. And all of us over here sitting here in America going, they don't really care. No, you're wrong. They do. They love it. They show up. It's also not a very long season, so it's only 8 games there, so it doesn't put a lot of these stadiums out in terms of the soccer or the concerts or the other stuff that they're doing. It's an easy sell, and I'm telling you, the merch sales alone, just in that surrounding area outside London, just the greater UK area, would be huge. And I think this would be a great move for them. Will they do it? We'll see. I still say Jacksonville is the team that's going to go over there first. I just feel like that is always going to be the case. But I think the Chargers make a ton of sense, too. If you had to put the Chargers in another city, though, that wasn't London, where would it be?
Yeah, that's a good question.
Like, who can support an NFL franchise here city-wise?
You know, I'll tell you, the last time this happened, the owner of the Rams came out and said they're not leaving St. Louis, Kroenke, and now they hate this guy.
And then they left St. Louis.
Yeah. I thought St. Louis supported that team.
I do, too. I would be fine with the St. Louis Chargers.
But they played in a bad spot. You know, they would need a new place. They can't play in that dome. It's just even at the time that they had it, it was not a great place, and they couldn't get a new stadium built there. And so St. Louis would to me, would be fantastic. What we need to do is stay away from my home state here in Florida, because sports is just not working here like it should be. So let's not explore any new franchises here.
Well, I think part of the reason is, especially in certain parts of Florida, you get seasonal residentship. And I think
same thing as in Arizona. That's why Arizona sports is tough, too.
I can't disagree with you there. I think you need I think it's time for the NFL to start looking at some of these places where college football is king. And if you really commit to it, you can get people to show up there and support the team.
Maybe.
You know, I mean, Oklahoma doesn't have a football team. Why?
Yeah,
Oklahoma City and the basketball team.
Yeah, right. From Seattle to there. All right, second down, Foles officially back. Wow, so Marone went against his word there. He said he was going to wait a week. He must have looked at that film, like he said, and made that decision pretty easy. I think we thought that this was going to happen, but some really nice Twitter stuff yesterday with the Minshew era basically coming to an end. And look, I mean, he had a great run, no question. There's still a chance that he could play, no doubt. If something would happen to Foles or Foles wouldn't play well, at least you know that you have somebody capable. But that was an historically bad second half performance from Minshew, and I think the right move for Jacksonville. By the way, Jacksonville, a pretty nice schedule the rest of the season. They're going to have to win probably 4 out of 5 to get in the playoffs, but not unreasonable.
No, it's not unreasonable, and Fournette's played fantastic. The defense has played well, even without Jalen Ramsey for the most part. So Jacksonville is still very much in this hunt, as we talked about the playoffs on yesterday's show, which you could listen on demand if you missed it. And I don't know why you would ever miss our show, but you shouldn't. But you're right. I think it's the right move. It makes sense here. I'm fascinated to see, though, how Foles plays and what that's going to mean for next year. Because if Foles is kind of mediocre, I wonder how quick a trigger might be going into next season, where you start the year off maybe with Foles, but you have this guy in Minshew who had some moments. And as time goes on, you and I both know distance makes the heart grow fonder. You kind of forget that last game and you remember all the feels, all the good feels you had about Gardner Minshew playing quarterback and all the publicity that the organization got. Trying to think about it, too, from the Jacksonville PR standpoint, have they ever in the history of that organization had this much PR? Probably never.
Maybe not since the first year where they made that great run.
Right.
Super Bowl.
Coughlin, right? Yeah. I mean, that's about it.
Mark Brunell. Yeah. No, I agree. Actually, 2 years ago, they played the Patriots in the AFC Championship. And that was,
yeah, but even then, that wasn't a PR team. I'm talking about like a media darling kind of situation where you had a star.
Where they're on the map, yeah. There really just hasn't been a lot for that franchise.
And you know what? God bless Mark Brunell. Great player, but I don't know if I'd call him a star. Tony Boselli was a great player. Star? I don't know. You don't see Tony Boselli on national commercial type things. Minshew was pushing that envelope.
Well, Fred Taylor, I think, was probably a star. That was their biggest
as close as you're going to get, probably.
Hall of Famer. Yeah.
Oh, great player. Oh, Fred Taylor. Don't get me wrong.
All right. Third down, the college football playoff teams announced yesterday. Ohio State, LSU, Alabama, and Penn State. Those were the four. And the reason why no one's in uproar over this, Joe, is because it doesn't matter. Because Penn State's going to play Ohio State. Penn State's going to play Minnesota. LSU's going to play Alabama. And so Clemson is out for now. But, Joe, everybody knows that if Clemson wins the rest of their games, they're in. So kind of nice to have this come out yesterday, but a little bit meaningless because there's so many matchups head-to-head before the end.
Well, that's what I'm curious. When they say announce it, like this is just the four, like, isn't it? I don't understand. Am I missing something?
If the season ended today, this would be the playoff, but the season doesn't end today. And so we just keep going. So
okay,
there's
so
not a lot of outrage because, again, you're going to have these teams playing against each other and it's going to sort itself out. But people are surprised that Penn State is ahead of Clemson, for example.
Do you think some of the shine is off the Trevor Lawrence Rose?
No.
No? Okay. So do you think Clemson does sneak into this four?
Sneak?
They don't need to sneak. You know what I mean? They're in. Okay. Yeah, okay. In. So who's out? of the
Penn
four.
State or Ohio State. I mean, one of these two teams going to lose.
Okay, so you're saying the loser of that game, no matter who wins, loses Bama and LSU, it doesn't matter. So you're saying it's Ohio State, Penn State. So if you're a betting man, I was going to say if, but I'm not going to say if. You're a betting man. Who's out, Ohio State or Penn State?
Penn State, probably. Listen, if Penn State loses at Minnesota this week, they're out, and it doesn't even matter. And then it creates craziness if Penn State beats Ohio State. But my guess it's Ohio State, LSU, Bama, and Clemson. I think that'll be the final four.
That's a good four. I mean, those are fantastic.
Yeah,
that's pretty good.
At the beginning of the season, that's what you.
I love the college football playoff. I think it was so long overdue, and I just didn't get it. I don't understand why they couldn't have.
And this
is enough. I think it's enough of a playoff. I kind of like this.
They could add four more. I could see that. I think that's going to come. No, it doesn't have to happen.
You're probably right. It's
anything better than what we had. It made no sense.
Well, what we had was stupid, and this is at least much, much better. And there's something to the fact that it's only four, and it does yield a little bit more to these, you know, these conference games at the end, the conference championship kind of games where there's a little bit more weight there potentially. And I think that's kind of fun too when you sit back and look at it. Okay, yeah.
They're not going to go like 16 teams or anything like that. Because
no, that's crazy.
It's not even that. The bowls would lose money because they're taking away from the historical perspective of the Rose Bowl and the Fiesta Bowl and the Orange Bowl, and TV ratings and interest would be completely gone if they decided to have them all as playoff games. And that's why I
like the four. I just like the four. The four is simple. The four everybody can get in on. You're probably right. There's too much greed out there where it's going to go to eight.
Yeah, they're going to add more. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, the first thing that'll be is it'll be six, and the first two teams get byes. That's what they're talking about. And then eventually I think it'll go to eight. All right, real quick, fourth down here. We discussed this yesterday. We could just touch on it again. Popeye's Chicken, Joe, people are getting murdered over Popeye's Chicken sandwiches. Deshaun Watson said he ate one, and that's why they won.
That's right. Well, not only did he win, but it cured his eye. He got kicked in the eye. And after the game, he said the eye was great. And the key to his recovery was eating the Popeye's Chicken spicy sandwich. So I don't know what else there is to say.
No, if you believe that, then you believe the Chargers are staying in L.A. All right, we'll take a quick time out. We'll be back. Are these players fantasy busts, or is there still time to save their season? We'll ask Joe Pizzapia that when we come back next.
NFL season is now upon us, and you can become the eighth person to win $1 million in a FanDuel or DraftKings tournament by setting their lineups using the DailyRotor.com DFS Lineup Optimizer. If you are playing daily fantasy sports and not using DailyRotor.com, you're doing it wrong. Sign up now for the NFL access with a faster optimizer, smarter DFS projections, and better results. Enter promo code ACTION for a 10% discount. That's promo code ACTION for a 10% discount. DailyRotor.com, where millionaires are made.
Hi, this is Bowen Yang here, and if you're as excited as I am about the upcoming fourth season of Search Party on HBO Max, then you'll want to tune in to Search Party, the podcast. I'm sitting down with the creators and stars of the dark comedy to delve deeper into the disturbing world inhabited by Dory, Drew, Elliot, and Portia. And to help us discuss Search Party's most prominent themes, we're inviting a very special celebrity fan to join each chat. Folks like Paul Scheer, Vanessa Bayer, Busy Phillips, Taryn Killam, and Carrie Brownstein, among many others. I couldn't be more excited to talk with these folks about one of my favorite shows on TV. So join us as we review classic moments, share behind-the-scenes anecdotes, and analyze the complex characters and unpredictable plot lines that make the series oh so much fun. Search Party Season 4 comes to HBO Max on January 14th. Meanwhile, be sure to subscribe to Search Party, the podcast, which premieres December 14th on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
These days, it feels like we're on 24/7. Between work, friends, family, and a million things piling up left and right, the nonstop hustle has taken over. And it's kind of a lot. Sure, Rise and Grind is all fine and dandy, but sometimes you just need a moment to turn off and hit reset. That's when you reach for a Coors Light. It's literally made to chill. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged. It's as refreshing and crisp as the Colorado Rockies, perfect for a moment to unwind. You know it's time to chill when the mountains on the cans and bottles turn blue. So when you want to hit reset, reach for Coors Light, the only beer that is mountain cold refreshment, made to chill. Don't feel like running to the store? Get Coors Light in their new look, delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Coors Brewing Company in Golden, Colorado encourages you to celebrate responsibly.
Fantasy Sports Today with Craig Mish and Joe Pisapia.
Do you trust me?
Trust?
Do you trust me?
Or bust?
You are so busted.
Want to light the lamp on DraftKings and FanDuel this NHL DFS season? Join DailyRoto.com right now. Learn from the best daily fantasy sports players. Updated fantasy hockey projections for NHL DFS line combinations and build stacks for tournaments on the Daily Roto NHL DFS lineup optimizer. If you're playing daily fantasy hockey without using Daily Roto, you are doing it wrong. Enter promo code ACTION for a 10% discount. That's promo code ACTION for a 10% discount. DailyRoto.com. That's where millionaires are made. And yes, we have NHL going on, the NBA, college basketball, college football now on Tuesday night. We have games tonight, on Wednesday night. It is just bonkers from now until the end of the season. So in terms of bonkers, there are some players that were drafted that have driven their fantasy teams bonkers over the course of the fantasy football season. But since we're only halfway through the regular season, and again, week 17 is never going to count, and 90% of the people who are listening to the show are not going to be playing in their fantasy football championship. It's just true. I mean, yeah, if you're playing in 15 leagues, of course, then I would hope that you're playing in one. But for the most part, these players have been fantasy busts no matter where you took them in fantasy this season. Whether you picked them up, played them, started them, sat them, they've been busts. There's still about 5 weeks left for them to save their fantasy season. And then if they save their fantasy season for you, in all likelihood, maybe you can use them in the playoffs. A lot of people forget last year, people like Jamal Williams of the Green Bay Packers, who was a virtual non-existent player until Aaron Jones went down in the fantasy football championship. And Jamal Williams was the second best fantasy running back in the fantasy football championship. So guys can save their seasons. The question is, will these players do it? So, Joe, let's kind of run through this here a little bit. You and I have talked a ton about Devin Singletary of the Buffalo Bills. I'm seeing him being started now in a lot of fantasy football lineups. He's got 5 weeks to save his fantasy season. He's had one good week. It was last week. That's it. The rest of the season's been a bust. Do you think that he saves his season over the next 5 weeks and at least grades out where you took him in fantasy? Because right now the grade has been a zero.
Well, it's funny because I feel like this bit here of the setup is like that thing where you ask me to sit down and you pull out the chair and you're like, no, Joe, come on, sit down, Joe. And I say, are you sure? And you're like, no, I mean it. I want you to sit down on this chair. I really
was like Lucy with the football.
No, it's totally Lucy with the football. And I'm Charlie Brown. I'm bald. And so there you go. So there.
No,
there
I think that this is the reclamation project. It's like eliminate everything that you saw. You got one more chance to get right.
Okay, well, you keep calling him a failure. I'll call him an incomplete because of the injury. And also because you drafted him as, again, probably an RB4. If you look at Fantasy Pros, when the season started, God, I'd have to pull up where that is. But he was number 64 overall at running back. So I can't call that a bust. I call it incomplete because he hasn't been on the field. Now, going forward, I do believe, as I've stuck to my guns here, put it in black and white in the black book, that Singletary would be a guy in the second half that could help win you a league, like a guy that will carry you for the, not carry you, but basically be the RB2 that you want him to be later in the season. All of our expectations got moved up quickly because he had such a good preseason, because LeSean McCoy got moved on, and all of those little things got us more excited that, oh my goodness, the time frame might move from weeks 8 to week 17 to maybe week 1. And then you saw him in week 1, he didn't touch the ball much until that fourth quarter, and oh my goodness, did he touch the ball in that Jet game, and my goodness, did he make an impact in that game, and that's how they got the W. So there was a lot of reason to be excited that things were going in the right direction. I'm going to say this. He is not going to be a bust the second half of the season. I think that they are a much more dynamic football team when he touches the ball. I think he's the missing element to that offense because although Frank Gore is very capable, he does not bring what Singletary brings to the table. I don't think Frank Gore is a guy that's going to be breaking big runs. I don't think a guy who is going to be changing the game flow, you know, changing that momentum of a game. And Singletary can do that, and therefore I think they're going to give him the touches to do that, and I think it's going to start this week. It probably started last week, to be honest.
Well, we'll see. Was Darius Geis a fantasy bust this year?
Yes, because he was way higher. Darius Geis was drafted, I have to look here too. He's definitely in the higher rung, that's for sure. I think he's in the 30s. Yep, 30. Oh my God, I'm good. Look at that. Number 30 overall. So that's twice as high in ADP.
But why wouldn't he get an incomplete? He was hurt.
Well, he gets an incomplete, but he's more of a bust because he was drafted right as that fringe, like a flex player. Guys that you draft not to start on your team, I have a hard time calling busts. I call them disappointments because bust to me, this is like maybe it's a semantic argument. Bust to me is a guy that fails you and then kills your team. I don't think Singletary's killing your team. You're just frustrated with what's going on, and it's maybe made you miss out on free agents because you had to hold him in a dead spot in your lineup.
So was Barkley
on your roster? Close.
David Johnson?
Yes.
Yeah, and injuries involved with these guys too.
Yes, but also ADP investment. You know, I think there's a big difference between taking a shot on a guy and being wrong.
Well, I mean, you could certainly categorize it differently.
From a logic standpoint, don't you think it's far more disappointing to draft a guy who you're drafting as your number one talent?
Absolutely. But the way I look at it is I kind of look at it. Maybe I shouldn't, but
I don't think you compare the two. I don't think you can compare Saquon Barkley to Devin Singletary or Geis for that matter.
What about Lamar Miller?
Lamar Miller's a bust. Sure. Lamar Miller was drafted as an RB2, solid RB2, probably somewhere in the 20s. I would say probably 22.
All right. Let's move. We're never going to get through all these.
Let's go. I'll be quick.
Montgomery, five more weeks.
Here you go again. Okay, you got the football out there, Charlie? Okay.
Listen, I'm playing him. I played him last week. I finally got what I was waiting for all season long. I'm going to keep playing.
Yeah, two touchdown game. Hey, all right. Well, here's the thing. He's got a touchdown in three of his last four games. You would like to see the carry volume go more towards that 27 than the 14. But if it can settle somewhere in between, yeah, I think there's opportunity here. I don't know what Matt Nagy needs to be hit over the head with. I realize that the team is to let this on the ball 20 times. Be optimistic in the first half. Consideration for RB2. I know for me he was. So he bust so far. For the year, I think you should call optimistic.
All right, how about Damian Williams of Kansas City?
I'm going to say bust all year. I said bust first half of the year. I was right about that. I'm going to say bust for second half of the year as well. I think everybody's getting way too wrapped up in the one giant 95-yard run that he had yesterday. And granted, that was great. But at the same time, when Mahomes was there, things weren't working out with Damian Williams in this offense. I just feel like they're just going to throw the hell out of the football and it doesn't matter. So I'm going to say bust.
Joe Mixon of the Bengals got a few weeks left to save his season.
I'm going to say Joe Mixon. Joe Mixon's definitely been a bust. This is another guy, second round ADP. So he's a bust from that standpoint. And it's hard to imagine all of a sudden changing to this rookie quarterback and things all of a sudden picking up business. So I'm going to say bust through the entire season. I don't think he can save the season. You know, this good second half here.
Okay. Duke Johnson was traded to Houston right before the year, and his ADP kind of shot up a little. And for the fifth consecutive year, he's more or less been a guy you can't start. All of a sudden, Joe, out of nowhere last week, basically against Jacksonville, people are starting to be back on that train again. But Hyde has looked pretty good. So I don't know. What do you think? Next 5 weeks, does he have a chance to save his fantasy season? It's been almost a zero.
Duke Johnson, his value in rosters is so relative to when you drafted. Because if you did draft early and he was just kind of a guy you had towards the back end as depth, then you were happy and maybe you used him as a flex a couple times when he had some matchups or maybe you had some injuries or buys and he was useful. So in that sense, he was not a bust. I think Duke Johnson was a bust for many teams that did exactly what you said, which is all of a sudden, oh my God, Lamar Miller's out. Move up Duke Johnson all the way. It's going to be a big Duke Johnson thing. And then, of course, they acquire Hyde, who's been the steadier guy and the guy that they've given the ball to more. And I think from that perspective, he's been a bust. And I kind of find it hard to believe that all of a sudden here in the second half that he is going to just have these kind of games that he had last week. I don't see that happening. So I'll ask you so far, I'm curious what your thoughts are. I know we went over Joe Mixon real fast, but do you think Joe Mixon with the different change of quarterback here, there's any hope for him the second half?
He has a good schedule. I think there's a chance that
a good enough schedule to save he did to you in the first.
I don't know that he can save his season, but somebody actually asked me this morning about him. And my answer was, you got to look at that schedule. They get the Browns. I mean, look, the Browns still don't look like they're going anywhere. They get the Dolphins. I mean, even though Bell didn't really run really well, I would say that Mixon is a flex player because of the matchups the rest of the season. I don't think he's going to save his ADP, but I wouldn't get rid of him. I think I would start starting him. And who knows? Maybe there's a little bit of a change in, you know, as you mentioned with the quarterback, maybe there's a little bit of a change in philosophy. We'll see. Kenyon Drake. A complete zero on Miami, wherever you took him for his ADP. And if you were one of the lucky ones that hung on to him all season and the luckiest one actually play him in that game last Thursday night, then you finally got something. I find it hard to believe that anybody who drafted him held on to him that long and also played him on Thursday night, Joe. I just think that's the reality of fantasy, and I wouldn't blame anybody for it. The question is, does he save his fantasy season? He certainly, if he did anything in the next half a dozen games, it would be a season-saving deal for him. But I don't know. Did we see his best game already?
Well, it's possible he saw his best game, but it doesn't mean he can't be useful. My concern now is, where's David Johnson? Is he healthy enough to play? They say he is, But they said that a couple weeks ago, and then he didn't play. So this is really about what you believe David Johnson's health is or isn't. And the strange part is they went out and they got a couple other running backs. And then on top of that, they added Kenyon Drake. So that, to me, keeps sending up the flagpole situation of, hey, these guys aren't 100%. I'm going to say there's a chance Kenyon Drake can save his value, because chances are he was probably dropped in a lot of leagues. So when you're picking a guy up the waiver wire, yeah, I think if he can have a couple at least flex type appeal weeks, it's absolutely a win for Kenyon Drake owners. And I hope as a free agent he gets that, because I think next year he can really help a team who actually will give him the football.
Yeah, I think he has to have somebody else with him, but I do think that he should be a starter somewhere for sure. DK Metcalf was not drafted high in any fantasy league, Joe, but certainly he was taken as a wide receiver 3 or 4 with some upside. There was almost none for about 6 weeks. All of a sudden, Metcalf is one of the top 5 receiving scorers in fantasy over the last couple of weeks. Is there a chance that this guy takes off the rest of the season?
There is. He's made a lot of improvements. You see the targeting is very favorable for him in the end zone. You also see a lot going on there in a positive in terms of him and Russell Wilson being on the same page. And I actually think Josh Gordon's a positive, because another player on the field means somebody else to account for. And the, you know, whatever you think of Josh Gordon, you know, whether it be positive or negative, I think at the end of the day, you look at it and go, he's another body to defend at the very least. So for me, I think that's a big positive for DK Metcalf. I'm definitely buying him rest of the season.
All right. Coming up next, this is one that you won't want to miss, as we're going to get into a little bit of acting and a little bit of fantasy. And Joe, I'm very excited to bring our next guest on.
Yeah, me too. A good friend of mine from my acting school days here, and acting in the real world as well. So Craig DeFranci is going to join us from Power and from the new Scorsese hit, The Irishman. So that's very exciting, Mr. Mish.
Yeah, and his name is Craig. It's got to be a good interview. Craig DeFranci joins us next here on Fantasy Sports Today. The Irishman is out in theaters now. Limited movies, but it will be on Netflix in a few weeks. The reviews are off the charts. Don't go away. He's coming up next.
NFL season is now upon us, and you can become the 8th person to win $1 million in a FanDuel or DraftKings tournament by setting their lineups using the DailyRotor.com DFS Lineup Optimizer. If you are playing daily fantasy sports and not using DailyRotor.com, you're doing it wrong. Sign up now for the NFL access with a faster optimizer, smarter DFS projections, and better results. Enter promo code ACTION for a 10% discount. That's promo code ACTION for a 10% discount. DailyRotor.com, where millionaires are made.
So, Donald, I may have indulged a bit too much in the month of December. My energy's been lagging. My belt is definitely on its last notch from all of the eating.
Well, the holidays can do that to you, buddy. It makes you reach for quick fixes that have rough and lasting effects on your gut. Good thing we have GT Synergy Raw Kombucha to get your gut back on track.
That's right. It's those billions of probiotics that whip the gut back into balance. And those are naturally occurring probiotics, not the added fake kind.
Yeah. Well, GTs are naturally occurring because it's raw and fully fermented for 30 days.
No kidding. Just talking about it makes me want to grab a trilogy flavor right now.
When you drink a kombucha, it means you love your guts. Because a healthy gut can help with less bloating, digestion support, boosted immunity, better mood, improved skin, and just your overall health. I've been drinking GT's Gingerberry since the new year to introduce more good bacteria to my system. GT himself told me that kombucha is its most potent and beneficial on an empty stomach.
Man, do I love GTs. I usually drink it in the afternoon to give me a little pick-me-up and treat myself.
Drink GT Synergy to show your gut that you love them. Better health is as simple as making a few small changes, and incorporating GTs is an easy one.
You can learn more about GTs at gtslivingfoods.com/loveyourguts and pick up a bottle at your local grocery store in the refrigerated section.
It's no secret that our current healthcare system is broken. We're often taught to avoid the doctor unless we're already sick. This is where Forward comes in. Forward doctors deliver personalized insights to put you on the path to better health. And they're based right here in the San Francisco Bay Area. Forward doctors actually spend time listening and getting to know you. Using real-time blood results and genetic analysis, they build a preventative plan with you to mitigate any health risk. And the best part? Forward doctors make it easy by guiding you through small changes to your lifestyle today to achieve long-term results. With the latest technology and tools, Forward's high-caliber team of doctors deliver cutting-edge preventative care. Whether it's finding the root cause of a new problem, managing a condition, or building a plan to achieve your wellness goals, at Forward, your healthiest self is just around the corner. Better yet, Forward doctors help you find exactly what your genes say about your health. It's time to listen to what your body is telling you. Go to GoForward.com today to get the insights you need to put you on the path to better health. That's GoForward.com.
Fantasy Sports Today with Craig Mish and Joe Pisapia.
And welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today. We're real excited for this segment and our next interview. Of course, Joe Pisapia and Craig Mish. And today we bring on the show Craig DeFrancia. And you may know his name because he's Marshall Romano on the hit show Power on Stars, and also Dominic in last year's Best Picture Award winner, The Green Book. And now he's appearing in probably the most highly anticipated film of the year, no question about that, in theaters limited, and then on Netflix starting November 28th. Of course, everybody knows The Irishman, which the cast is literally incredible. It takes you back to the old days of Goodfellas and Casino, and it's the reviews already for the people who have seen this thing say it's going to be the movie of the year, and Craig is in it. So we're very excited to have him in and on Fantasy Sports Today. And Craig, thank you for coming on with Joe and I. How are you?
Craig and Joe, guys, thank you so much for having me. I'm really excited to talk some sports and some film.
Well, let's start off with this. I mean, what is it like holding an Academy Award in your hand as an actor who've worked so many years to achieve that? I know, really, what an incredible moment it must have been for you last year.
Wow. I mean, you know, we won 3 Academy Awards last year, and to hold 2, I really wanted to grow another arm to hold the other. But fortunately, I couldn't do that. But to actually, you know, I was at the Palladium at a private party for the announcement when I was in California, and to watch Julia Roberts come out and announce The Green Book was a euphoric experience that I cannot explain. For an actor, it's like winning, you know, for an actor, I guess I could compare it to an athlete winning the Super Bowl. You know, it was just a euphoric experience that, I mean, I laughed, I cried, I screamed up and down the aisles, and the accolades and the pictures and the carpets. It's been a huge blessing, and I'm hugely thankful for the entire experience and working with those guys and Nick Vallelonga and Viggo Mortensen and Mahershala Ali, to name a few. Nick Vallelonga, those guys, it's a true story, and they deserve it. They deserve it. I mean, you know, they put the time, the effort, the work, and this has been a project that's been around for quite some time, and I'm just happy to be a part of it. It was a really, really great film, a great experience.
Now, Craig and I have known each other for almost 20 years. We went to acting school together at the Esper Studio in New York, and can you imagine that? 20 years, baby. And I'm so proud because nobody's ever hustled and worked more than you, and just continuing, always out there, always, you know, plugging along. So when I see success of guys like you in this industry, it makes me happy because I know how hard you work. And, you know, we're on that trail together for many, many years, and it's so great to see you have success. And now here you are working with Scorsese. So here you go. The Italian from New York, the actor playing a mobster, playing Carmine Persico in a Scorsese film, the ultimate cliche, but at the same time, there's got to be a little bit of like wish fulfillment in there, right? I'm the Italian guy who gets to be, who grew up watching The Godfather and Goodfellas and all that stuff. And now you get to work with Scorsese in a film about mobsters. I mean, it's kind of, although it's cliche, it's amazingly fun. And I'm sure you're excited about it, but tell me, what was it like being on set here with Scorsese and his process? Because I'm sure, you know, like just like the great coaches, the Belichicks of the world, the Harbaughs of the world, what's it like being on a set and watching this guy work his craft?
No, man. First and foremost, I'm in the film. Don't blink, cause you'll miss me. I do the hit on Albert Anastasia, which is, it's a very dramatic, expressive, swooping shot. Only Scorsese has the eye for. And I guess, you know, being on set, I was on set. I shot the last day of shooting.
Wow.
It was the last day. I got cast the last day of casting, and then I shot actually on the last day. So, and I was talking to my agent, you know, I got to get into this film. I feel I'm right, blah, blah, blah. Next thing you know, it finally happens, and it was a blessing. But to get back to your question, Joe, to work with Mr. Scorsese was a dream come true, man. First, you know, when you get there, you're like, holy cow, this is Marty, and I'm actually working with him. You know, you got to get over that
Did you call him Marty? You called him Mr. Yeah. I know you too well. You did not call, did you call him Marty?
No, I called him Mr. Scorsese. Yeah, told me to call him, you know. Always, I mean, you know, he's a legend, so he deserves all the accolades and all the respect. So when I first got there, he was very nice, very warm, very welcoming. And then once we got over that, we got right to work. You know, we started talking about marks and where the camera's going to be and action and intention and all the good things that Bill taught us back in school, which was really great. He's a fundamental. He works with fundamentals and keeps it basic. You know, we talk about objectives and things like that, and it went right from there. But I have to tell you, to watch him watching the monitors was amazing. I've never seen somebody one with film as much as Mr. Scorsese was. I mean, Joe and Craig, he is so animated while he's watching the dailies. Like, he's making facial expressions up, down, out of the seat, sitting back in the seat. Like, I mean, he's almost childlike in his approach, because his love and passion is just so exuberant that it just exudes out of his body. And it's amazing to watch. And it was one of the best experiences I've had so far in my career.
Craig DeFranci is with us. You can catch him on the hit show Power, and also has a role in the upcoming movie The Irishman, which you've had a chance to see. And so we don't do spoilers on the show, Craig, clearly. But the reviews for the movie take us back to one of the best mob movies of all time in Goodfellas. There's like the meters are like 99% positive on this one. And yet there are people thrown off when they hear that this movie's 3 hours. So I would ask you, without giving away everything in the movie, is this going to live up to the hype from what people are talking about?
I'm not a big believer in hype. I like to form my own opinions. Even when a film will get not so savvy reviews, I will go see it and form my own opinion. However, I've seen the film twice. 3.5 hours goes by and it feels like an hour and a half. You're so engaged in this film. You so want to be a part of this film, into this film, that the time is of the essence. You don't even feel it. It's a really, really great piece of film. And, you know, for all of the all-star cast that has been incorporated in this film, it really comes out. And there are so many scene stealers. I mean, Joe Pesci is absolutely amazing in it. Al Pacino is great. And also Harvey Keitel is in it.
It's like all the whole crew, like all the guys from all the movies. It's just unbelievable. Pesci doesn't get enough credit as an actor, just generally speaking. I feel like you go back and you watch Raging Bull, you go back and you watch Casino, you go back and you watch Goodfellas. Pesci's everybody talks about De Niro, but I feel like Pesci doesn't get enough credit, right, Craig?
Agreed, 100%. You know, De Niro's performance is amazing. You know, I really felt like Joe Pesci really came into his own. And I mean, he played the silent Don. He played Buffalino. But he really encompassed him. He says it without saying it. His actions and his mannerisms, that's the key. And he really comes across like a tough guy, but very quiet.
Well, look, you know, growing up in some of the neighborhoods I know we grew up in, we experienced some of these characters, should I say, firsthand. And certainly fun to, you know, see people's interpretations. And that's why theirs are so good, because they grew up there too. And I think that's why they have such a different take. It's so much more realistic and in many ways more terrifying. Now, speaking of terrifying, I know you're a Giants fan, so it's been a rough couple of years for you. So I want to talk about this, because I feel like there's a light at the end of the tunnel here. I understand there's still some L's piling up. But you've made the transition out of Daniel Jones. I know not everybody was super excited about this draft pick. Many Giant fans were not. Are you happy so far? You see Saquon, you see Daniel Jones. Do you see future here where, yeah, it might be a lot of L's this season, but maybe a brighter 2020 on the horizon for the Giants?
Absolutely. I mean, we have a frame. We have Daniel Jones. You know, I really loved his performance. I watched him in the preseason. I'm like, this kid is spot on. I was a little skeptical, obviously, as everyone else was when the pick came out. I'm like, but the Giants, you know, that's their job. That they obviously know a lot more than me about football and about picks than myself. So I trust in them, and I embraced him as a Giant. Watched him in preseason, enjoyed his throws, enjoyed his accuracy. Granted, he is a rookie. Rookies will make mistakes. He's going to throw picks. I know that. That's inevitable. I've accepted that. However, with him and Barkley, and with the addition of Golden Tate, he's fantastic. I mean, you know, we have a really good core crew. Now we just have to put everything together and hopefully get a win. It's tough. I don't see us going anywhere this year. However, I know next year we'll do something for us.
Craig DeFranci is with us, and The Irishman comes out on Netflix on November the 28th. And you guys who subscribe to Netflix can catch it. Otherwise, get on that now. You can also catch Craig in the TV show called Power. I'm sure many people are aware of that as well. Now, from what I understand, the weekends, Craig, when you're not acting, are spent with maybe having some action on games. I don't know if that's correct or incorrect. In New Jersey, yeah. And now it is legal.
Yeah, I dabble.
Of course.
In New Jersey, it's legal. In New York, it's the guy on the corner, I'm sure. So what kind of season are you having this year? Are you up? Are you down?
I'm up. I'm having actually a good season this year, knock on wood. Last week, I hit a couple of parlays, which was a lot of fun, and pushed down a couple. I'm a big fan of, like, I'll do a three-team parlay and then hedge at the second for the last game. Okay. This way, it's a guaranteed W if I hit the first two. Okay. Oh yeah.
And what kind of figures are we throwing around here, Craig? Come on.
You don't ask a man about his figures.
Well, you know, we don't talk about that, but yeah, you know, I do play, and I do enjoy it. I do enjoy it a lot.
You're right. Whack for that question, Mish. What are you doing?
Well, listen, I got my own Joe P.
Wasn't he brief?
Yeah, you know, Craig, I got my own Joe P here on the show. Not Pesci, Pesapia, you know? Yeah. I got my own guy. What was Joe like, by the way, in acting school with you?
Let me tell you something. I'm so glad you asked that, because we got off a tangent and Joe started mentioning acting school, and I wanted to talk about Joe's performances in acting school. Let me tell you something. Joe is a great actor. His independent activities, we do some exercises in class. Joe is a fantastic actor. I remember some of his independent activities were so unique and so memorable that they're still imprinted in my brain, and I still refer to them these days. I mean, Joe was one of the top three in the class, and wow. I'm not just blowing smoke. That's from the heart. That's from the heart, Joe, and I mean that with all my heart.
I look forward. I want to come out of retirement one time just to go do something with you. I've already said that. That's it. That's the guy that gets me out of retirement is my buddy Craig. That's about it.
Well, good. Well, I'm working on a couple of projects too, so we would definitely talk about that.
Oh, look at this. See, now you'll be interviewing me next time, Mish. See what's going on here?
There it is. There it is. Okay, so Craig, before we wrap up here, you know, tell people kind of about, you know, what, besides the great movie that we're going to get a chance to see on November the 28th, where also can people find you, whether it's in movies or on the small screen, big screen? Let people know.
Well, you guys can follow me at Craig DeFrancy on Instagram. That's for all my latest projects and stuff like that. I have a role in this film directed by Jeremy Gouyere, which is called The Sound of Philadelphia, which I was on location in South Philly for 2 weeks, which is really, really a dark mob story about, it's not really a mob story, but it's, you know, this guy gets his sister's killed and he wants to find out who killed his sister and why. And it's going to be a really amazing film. I'm really glad to be a part of that. That's going on. I also executive producing a reality TV show called Vinyl Garage, which I'm shopping right now. And myself and Larry Mazza, who I met on the set of The Irishman, and myself and Larry are in the scene together with Killing of Abbott Anastasia. He is an actual Columbo made member captain in the Columbo crime family. And Mr. Scorsese and Mr. De Niro are in talks right now of doing his life story, which Larry has been kind enough to ask me to come aboard and produce, as well as play one of the roles in this episodic, which is happening within the next 6 months. And that's the one I'm talking to you about, Joe. That's the one you're going to be in.
I'm ready, baby. Say when. I still got the goods, and I'm more handsome now than I was even then. So there you go.
That's debatable for sure. But other than that.
Face for radio, Mish.
Hanging out with me on internet radio, Craig. Craig, thanks again for coming on. Really appreciate it. Best of luck with all of your projects, and thanks for taking the time today here on Fantasy Sports Today. We'll look forward to seeing the movie on the 28th of November. I know that I will be catching it as soon as it drops. Thanks again.
Thanks, brother.
Yeah, thank you so much, guys. Have a great day and keep smiling.
All right, there he is, Craig DeFrancia with us here on the show, The Irishman, November the 28th on Netflix. We'll be right back on Fantasy Sports Today with the best of the first hour. Don't go away.
NFL season is now upon us, and you can become the eighth person to win $1 million in a FanDuel or DraftKings tournament by setting their lineups using the DailyRotor.com DFS Lineup Optimizer. If you are playing daily fantasy sports and not using DailyRotor.com, you're doing it wrong. Sign up now for the NFL access with a faster optimizer, smarter DFS projections, and better results. Enter promo code ACTION for a 10% discount. That's promo code ACTION for a 10% discount. DailyRotor.com, where millionaires are made.
What do we mean by sales disruptors? Well, it's today's business leaders sharing their experience on how they manage through change. Like,
so this is a great opportunity to sharpen your tools. In a down market where you're not making a lot of big changes, there's an opportunity to go back and clean up things that need attention. Everything has wear and tear, so there's a great opportunity to go back and get caught up.
Tune in to Sales Disruptors, an Exactly podcast on Spotify or wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts. When markets change, leaders must reinvent. We all know that's more important than ever. Sales Disruptors is a brand new podcast from Exactly, the global leader in helping businesses reinvent the way they manage sales. Join us for candid conversations with global business leaders on how to thrive no matter what the market throws at you. Sales Disruptors. Download today on Spotify or wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
Fantasy Sports Today with Craig Mish and Joe Pisapia.
Welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today. As we wrap up the first hour of the show, here's what you missed.
Tell me, what was it like being on set here with Scorsese and his process? Because I'm sure, you know, like just like the great coaches, the Belichicks of the world, the Harbaughs of the world, what's it like being on a set and watching this guy work his craft?
Oh, man. First and foremost, I'm in the film. Don't blink because you'll miss me. They do the hit on Albert Anastasia, which is, it's a very dramatic, expressive swooping shot only Scorsese has the eye for. And I guess, you know, being on set, I was on set. I shot the last day of shooting.
Wow.
It was the last day. I got cast the last day of casting, and then I shot actually on the last day. So, and I was talking to my agent, you know, I got to get in for this film. I feel I'm right, blah, blah, blah. Next thing you know, it finally happens, and it was a blessing. But to get back to your question, Joe, to work with Mr. Scorsese was a dream come true, man. First, you know, when you get there, you're like, holy cow, this is Marty, and I'm actually working with him. You know, you got to get over that.
Did you call him Marty? You called him Mr. Scorsese. I know you too well. You did not call. Did you call him Marty?
No, I called him Mr. Scorsese.
Yeah,
he told me to call him. You know, always. I mean, you know, he's a legend, so he deserves all the accolades and all the respect. So when I first got there, he was very nice, very warm, very welcoming. And then once we got over that, we got right to work. You know, we started talking about marks and where the camera's going to be, and action and intention, and all the good things that Bill taught us back in school, was really great. He's a fundamental. He works with fundamentals. It was one of the best experiences I've had so far in my career.
At CarMax, we're pretty flexible with how you can buy a car. If you'd rather scroll through 50,000 cars instead of walking the lot, go for it. If you want to see how a car smells on the lot before you buy it, by all means. Hey, we all have our things. Want the whole thing to come to you without ever leaving home? Buy online. Compare how the speakers sound when playing your favorite mix? Yep, visit our lot. And if you want to browse a little on the lot and in select markets have it delivered at home, we're certainly not stopping you. CarMax, the way it should be.
Salesforce presents a mini meditation. Close your eyes and let your video conference calls fade away. Ignore the voices drifting from your laptop. Forget how your chin looks from this angle. And focus on what really matters, your customer. On your path to customer success, focus your teams with a single 360-degree view of your customer with Salesforce Customer 360. Find customer focus at salesforce.com/360.
Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here, and I have discovered a fun new escape from the daily grind, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has hundreds of social casino-style games that's all free to play anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So get to chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21+.